The following sermon is by Dan Thomas, pastor and teacher at Community Church in Edwardsburg, Michigan. If you've never visited us at Community Church, we invite you to join us at 28647 US 12 West in Edwardsburg. And now, here is Pastor Dan Thomas.
Father, we want to do that. We want to take a minute and just praise you for your redemptive work. For salvation only through Jesus. Lord, that each one of us could, we could take a receipt paid in full and wave it, that sin debt has been paid. And because of that, we're free of that penalty. And we're free to walk in your power. And Lord, I pray that you would take some of these truths that we've sung and just so ingrain them into our thinking that our lives change to your glory. I pray in your name. Amen. Please be seated. And I need to update you on a couple things. I promised, well, I don't know if I called a promise, but I mentioned that I was hoping the wall was coming down this week. I thought I was being clever, a little historical. I wrote a little note this week, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. Were you with me on that one? Yeah. Well, it turned out that the wall was more of an iron curtain than what we realized. And actually, even our contractors underestimated the weight of the wall. Each one of those curtains, they said, weighs like 1,000 pounds. Three of them couldn't get it out, so they've been taking them down piece by piece. So this half of the wall has come down. You guys back there, this is your last week to sit in a little nook and cranny all your own, okay? That wall, well, I hope. We'll see. So I say, so I've been promising. No, somebody who said, are you getting stressed out about things taking a while? Actually, I feel really good because every project I ever do takes me, you know, I'll tell my wife, I'll be a couple hours and, you know, 3 days later and 27 trips to the hardware store, I get done. I was so happy that the contractors are running into the same thing. You know, they can't get it done on time either. It makes me happy. But that everybody discovers more problems than they anticipated. But anyway, the wall, we are moving in that direction. Sound booth has some finishing touches. In fact, we don't have a TV up in the back today that has the words on it. That's why we had Hannah sing more than Adam. I don't know where Adam went, but I also wanted to warn you, there's no clock back there for me. So if it gets to be like 1:30, let me know. Okay, 1:30, 2:30. Yeah, I don't want to go too long. So we'll see if we can do that. I should mention, too, we've been saying that asking the Lord for a summer surge as far as giving goes and asking some folks to try to pick up an extra $100 unit just to make sure that is going well. We haven't quite caught up to where we wanted to be, but we've been gaining on it every week and excited about that as far as the giving goes for that. So, you ready? 1 Kings chapter 17 is where we are going again for the, I don't know, fourth week in a row or something like that. We've been on this, I want to take a quick survey here. Roller coasters. How many fans of roller coasters? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, no roller coasters for you. Who's in? A lot more fans. Okay, I'm going to have to find a roller coaster buddy. My wife and my kids used to love them. We used to go to Cedar Point and just run from roller coaster to roller coaster. In fact, I have a great story about Francis passing out in the line for the Millennial Force sometime, but I won't tell that. I didn't get permission, but in fairness to her, it was 90 degrees. We just ran all the way across the park to get in line, but then she made me miss the ride. Well, anyway, we'll get into that. But she won't ride them anymore. And both my kids are like early 30s. They won't ride them anymore. I'm going to have to find a grandkid that can ride them, or just adopt a random kid or something like that. Go ride rides with me. But as much fun as we might think of that, the roller coaster ride of life is something that we see in this story of Elijah. If you think about it, when we started the story at the beginning of the chapter, okay, Elijah is sent. The culture has gone against God. They have the most wicked king they've ever had in Ahab. And what they're doing is they're inventing their own God. And God calls Elijah into that and has him go boldly into the palace of the king and announce to him the judgment of God. And Elijah's on this incredible high where God has empowered him to do this and given him the strength to do this. And he makes this proclamation. And the next thing you know, the story continues. God sends Elijah out into the wilderness by the brook Cherith. And there he is now, and that high is over, and he's out here wandering in the wilderness and wondering what's going to happen. But God provides a miracle and feeds him with ravens and with the brook, and here he is on this amazing, he's seeing this miracle. This is great. This is wonderful. But then the brook dries up, and the ravens stop feeding him, so he's back down here. And then, I mean, we're just going through a handful of verses, really. But then at this time, then this widow, and this is what we're going to see today. I'm sorry, a little bit more today. But last week we saw at the beginning, God provides miraculously through this widow that she's going to have this pot of flour and oil that's never going to go dry, and there's always going to be just enough to eat, and God's going to provide this great miracle, and she's going to be fed. But then that's going to stop. The high is going to stop again too, because what we're going to read about today is her son's going to die. So, I'm doing great, not so good. Doing great, not so good. Doing great, not so good. And can't we relate to that sometime? I think more than anything, I'm asking God to help us just connect into this story of Elijah today, because I think as we do, we'll grab a hold of a truth that we really need for life. I mean, if I had that little Christmas morning feeling that I have something that I just can't wait to give you this morning, because I think we need this, because to one degree or another, all of us know what that roller coaster is like. We'll see that more as we go through. To have some highs and lows as far as life is concerned. Some of us are more prone to higher highs and lower lows, but we all can go through that some. So let's pick up the story. Again, when last we left it, God had provided this great miracle, and the woman's supplies for food was never going to run out. They kept having enough just every day, and Elijah's taken care of, and they're on victory road. But let's go ahead now to verse number 17. We're in 1 Kings chapter 17. After this, okay, we're on the victory road. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. And his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son. You see what she's saying there? Something must have caught up with me. You've come to bring my sin to remembrance. Something has caught up with me, O man of God. So she begins to see Elijah more now as a judge than as a savior. And he said to her, some of these phrases I want to go back and highlight a little bit, but picture it just for a second. Give me your son. Give him to me for a second. And he took him from her arms and carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged. And he laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, why have you brought this calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" He stretched himself upon the child three times, and he cried out to God, "O Lord, my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to the mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." As we look at this story, I want us to look for a minute, first of all, the woman and the journey that she's on. I want to look at the journey, if you will, that Elijah's on, which also, again, gives us a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. And lastly, just for a couple minutes, I want to look at the life of the little boy here. So the first journey that we're going to look at, we will call the journey of faith. Now, originally in the story, if you go back to to verse 12, we find that when Elijah showed up to this woman, when she talked to him, she said, "Your God." She kept using that phrase, "Your God." It becomes rather apparent that at this point in the story, at the beginning of the story, she is not a believer. So in the story is when she begins to believe God. And we begin this journey of faith when we trust the promise of God enough to obey. You say, "Well, Pastor, we're all there. I mean, we're here today. We all believe in God." I mentioned I used to listen to a sports talk show where, in order to mock somebody, not that men would ever do that on the sports radio, but if somebody would call in and say something like, I used to play high school football, the whole chorus in the studio would chime in and go, we're happy for you, just to kind of mock them. When somebody says that, well, I believe in God, I won't because I'm too nice a guy, but I kind of want to say sometimes, I'm happy for you. You believe in God. I kind of want to say a little whoop-de-doo there. Do you know who else believes in God? Satan and the devil. So just to believe there's God, that's just common sense. I mean, it is almost foolish to say, hey, there can't be a God. There's no God. You look around, you see creation, you see the witness of God. It's almost, you know, so you believe in God, we're happy for you. There is more to it than just saying, I believe in God. It is believing enough to trust in the very promise of God. The scripture says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, that's how we can be saved. And it scares me when people constantly are trying to tell me just how good they are. They're trying to, throw their works up and say, hey, you know, I think I'm good enough for God. Because the Bible says very plainly that our journey begins when we trust in him. Not as the Savior of the world, but as my Savior. Thomas, you might remember, is known as the Doubting Thomas. When he finally realized the resurrected Christ, he said, my Lord and my God. And when we get to that place where we put our faith and trust in him for forgiveness, not that, oh, he died for the sins of the world, but I understand that he died for my sin. We've sung about that in a couple of the different songs this morning. I love just to sing, hey, that debt's been paid. My debt's been paid. I realize that. And I put my faith and trust in Jesus for forgiveness of sin. My life is his like that. I'm not trying to earn his favor and earn heaven in any way, for Christ has already paid the price for my sin. We'll see that more as we continue in this story. But the journey of faith begins when we trust the promise of God enough to obey. It continues, and in many times is tested. Now, I'm going to spend a little time here because I think this is a place where we really need to connect into the story. This lady, as we mentioned, is a young believer. And kind of imagine what she's going through, okay? Can you? Okay, in one sense, look at that. That's incredible. Every time I go to this spot, there's flour in there. There's oil in there. God is providing for us. What an incredible miracle. Then her son dies. Can you, for a moment, just try to connect in there and imagine what she must be experiencing? God, why in the world would you allow this boy to die? And I'm going to make a statement, or I'm going to read a statement from a guy by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who is a famous preacher. I'm going to read it because me saying it, I'm almost afraid to say it. Listen to what he said. He said, sooner or later, we will wonder at God's seemingly contradictory ways. Now, I'm a little bit, you know, hey, God, your ways contradict each other. I'm a little afraid to spit that phrase out. But if we are honest, sooner or later in our lives, we're going to look and say, wait a minute, God is good all the time. I'm not feeling it now. I mean, and many people almost get playing, you know, God, he loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. This day he loves me, this day he doesn't. And we struggle with that. And I think if we look at this lady, we can connect into that story and understand, you know, today I'm going to wonder exactly what's going on there. In verse number 18, remember, she said, is there something in my past that's caught up with me? And we kind of think that again. So we begin to see Jesus much more as judge than we do as Savior. That's how we're looking at him. I wanted to show you a verse from the book of 1 John. Pastor Josh preached from 1 John a while ago. You might remember that this is a book that the author wrote, John wrote, and he said, I wrote this to you so that you may know that you have eternal life. If you read the end of the story, the letter, that's what he said. I've written all these things to you. I want you to know that you have eternal life. Look at this phrase here, what he says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. For whenever your heart condemns us, our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Okay, so remember what this lady begins to say? She says, oh man, my sin from the past is catching up with me. Have we ever been there? Have we ever thought that? Man, here it comes back. Maybe I'm not forgiven. You know, maybe that's not a done deal. Maybe that price hasn't been paid completely by Jesus. I think my sin is kind of catching up with me. Well, what God says here is, if your heart is telling you one thing and God's telling you something different, guess what's right? Sometimes there is a point where you have to tell your heart to shut up. Okay, go and tell your heart. I won't get into that. But sometimes you have to tell your heart, hey, no, you're wrong, because here's what God said. It's kind of like if you walked into the bank and the teller said, hey, we've just found this debt that you owe. And you owe, you know, multiple thousands of dollars. And you say, well, I think there's a problem. And the manager comes over. They call the manager over. And he says, oh, no, that's a mistake. You don't owe anything. That's been paid. Who cares what the teller says, right? But it's kind of like that. My heart might be still telling me, and I might still be racked with some guilt here as far as that goes. But when Jesus said, I have forgiven you, it is finished, the price has been paid, that's what I want to believe. Okay? But this is a thought that we often have. I'm not familiar with this song. Found this lyrics this week by a fella, I have heard of him, named Elton John. Yeah. But apparently Elton has a song with I can't think of her name. Leanne Rimes, thank you. Thanks for being, I couldn't think of her name. Kind of a weird duet for me to think about. But anyway, here's how the song goes. Is it written in the stars? Are we paying for some crime? Is that all we're good for, just this stretch of mortal time? Is this part of God's experiment, in which we have no say, in which we're given paradise, but only for a day? And I thought, well, that does express how we think sometimes. You know, wait a minute, is it just, you know, am I paying for some crime? What's going on here? I can't quite figure out. And let's be honest, we struggle. Let's play through this, if we can, for a couple minutes. Let's think of this scenario that this woman faced where, hey, great, this is wonderful. God is feeding me miraculously. My son just died. Okay, have we not been there? Had a roommate in college, actually became a very good friend of mine. And while he was in college, he got a call that his mom had cancer. And this is back around 1980. I don't remember the specifics of everything, but they said, you know, this doesn't look very good at all. And at the time, I think they were more apt to just open her up and see what's going on. And they did that. And the doctor said, I don't understand this at all. But she had no cancer at all. She's completely cancer-free. And I remember him, yes, this is great. His 40-something-year-old mother saying, this is great. Praise the Lord. God has healed her. About 10 years later, in her 50s, she got a totally different kind of cancer and passed away in a few months. Okay, now, again, I'm not trying to, let's tell some sad stories, but let us be honest about life. Sometimes you get there. So you get the new job and you think, God gave me this job. This is wonderful. That other job stunk. And this is such a wonderful job. And after a little bit, the company shuts down or something happens like that. And again, man, pastor's really cheerful. But be honest, these things happen. A relationship that you think is healed. Oh, we're doing so much better. And then something falls apart. Somebody that you care about who faces an addiction and you think, oh, this is great. They're coming out of this. They're doing so much better. And then they relapse. You know, these stories are part of our lives. And so many, when it comes to doctors, or, you know, you get one report from a doctor, you think, this is awesome. We're doing so much better. And then you next time you go in and you find it's downer. Now, again, I'm not trying to be Danny Downer today, but I do think we need to look at this honestly and kind of connect with where she is here and what's going on. And the truth of the matter is our faith is often tested when God's doing something that we don't completely understand. However, there's a third point that I want to give you in regards to that, and that is in this journey of faith, it triumphs on Resurrection Day. You might be thinking, yes, Pastor, but my story hasn't had a happy ending, at least not yet, so that's not really me. But what we find here, there's something that she says at the end of the story. She says this to him. She said, now I know. And I thought, perfect, because the day is coming, the promise that when we will know. The scripture uses this terminology. It says we will know even as we are also known. In other words, we're going to see things clearly. You've heard this expression that our faith will become sight. And then we'll see it. So that day is coming. And we're going to develop this a little bit more to think about. But that day is coming on Resurrection Day. And we will be able to say, now I know. My faith has been turned to sight. Now, we're going to switch gears here for a second and look at the role of Elijah in this story. Instead of being on a journey of faith, we'll say that he is on a journey of love. And once again, last week we looked at Elijah in the story, and we saw that Elijah came to people in great need. We saw that Elijah called them the great sacrifice. We saw that Elijah promised great blessing and joy as they sacrificed and gave. Once again, we're going to see a picture of Jesus in the life of Elijah. I grabbed this book this morning. We passed some of these out a couple years ago at the beginning of the year. This is a daily devotional guide that we use some. I've gone through it about a time and a half. I think my wife's on time number three or something like that. But it takes you through the Bible in a year. But the title of it is Jesus Day by Day. With each passage of Scripture, it helps you to see how Jesus is seen in that passage. You say, you mean in the New Testament? No, in each passage of Scripture, how Jesus is seen. And we can see in this story of Elijah and in what happened, we can definitely see a beautiful picture of Jesus. First of all, this journey of love begins in humility. That he came to the most ordinary situation you can imagine. Folks, Merry Christmas. That's the Christmas story. That God took on human flesh. He came into our lives. The incarnate God. That he took on a body and he walked amongst us. That he entered into our mess. Elijah is sent, eventually he's going to be sent to a place called Mount Carmel and see a great victory coming up as his roller coaster continues. We'll see that in the coming weeks. But for first he is sent to this widow. So Jesus enters into ordinary lives and shares in our suffering. Elijah not only gives us a picture of Christ, but he shows us a great example of how to be a leader or an influencer. And we see the need for tenderness as well as toughness. We see the need for sensitivity as well as strength. And as I look at my life, I want to remember that, that as a pastor, that's what I need. But I want you to look at your lives too and say, okay, in my relationships, where do I need to have that tenderness? Where do I need to have that strength? He walks and he says, give me your son. Okay, there's a picture here. I want to take this. He came from the highest level to a world in need. It reminded me of what is one of my favorite passages I want to take and read to you from Philippians. And mention this again. Philippians to me is a great book. Sometimes if you're just struggling, and even you've hit a dry spell as far as Scripture goes, I want to encourage you to go back to the book of Philippians. It's so loaded with wonderful truth. But I want you to hear the words that Paul wrote to the Philippian church in chapter 2, beginning verse number 5. He said, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Think like Jesus. Here's how he describes Jesus. He says, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that at that name, the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. But Jesus came from heaven to earth. I have not, just Canada, I have not followed the Chosen series. Some of you are familiar with this. The story of Jesus acted out. Francis has seen a few things. The truth is the only episodes I've seen are ones that somebody else has shown me. Sometimes in a sermon, a pastor will say, hey, watch this. And I've seen different scenes. But I know this. I know that each episode is the story of Jesus' encounter with somebody. Because that's Jesus' story. He went through life meeting with this person and ministering to this person and caring for this person and individuals like that. And see, that's what we find in Jesus again, is that he comes to us in that same way. He enters into our story personally and individually that we can know him. He enters into our pain. Think, by the way, about Elijah here. When he prophesied this famine, he was going to go through this famine. When he was set with this lady that barely had enough to eat, he barely had enough to eat. And even the experience of her son's death, think how much heart-wrenching that would have been for him also, because he's there and these are the only two people he really has in life, and this little boy has died, and he watches her heartbreak and everything like that. Elijah enters into the pain just as Jesus enters into the pain. So that love journey begins in humility. It grows in tenderness. And we'll develop this more later, but again, I want you to see him saying these words, give me your son. Okay? We'll develop that a little bit more, but we don't know the age of the boy as you visualize this, and he's going to carry him, probably not very old. That lifts him up. But he says, give me your son. And what does he do with him? The Bible says that he carries him up. Stay with me here for a second, okay? He carries him up. Have you ever been in that place where you had to give somebody to Jesus and he takes them and he carries them up? Are you seeing a picture here? Are you seeing what happened there, that Jesus takes them somewhere else? And when he takes them there, he's entered into our pain, our crosses, and our losses, but when he takes them there, yes, they're no longer in our arms, but we know they're in his arms. Yes, they're no longer in our house, but we know that they're dwelling in his house forever. And that's just a beautiful picture we see there. And the third idea, I think it's even more beautiful. It ends in life everlasting. This journey of love ends with the promise of God that is boldly held out there for everlasting life. Okay, so this story here again. My son is dead. Okay, give me your son. Give me your son. I'm going to take him. I'm going to take him upstairs. And there, God is going to bring him back to life. And what's he do? He's going to bring that son back down. Do you know that in the book of Jude, only one chapter in the book of Jude, verse number 14, though, in there, talks about the idea that Jesus is coming back and he's returning with his saints. Okay, now this might be a little heart-wrenching in a good way for a second, but do you know that someday Jesus comes back and he says, here's your son, okay? He's alive. Behold, your son, he's alive again. And whatever that loss is that we can take and we give it to Jesus and put it in his arms and he takes and he heals and he says, in him is life everlasting. Scripture says, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have, what is that? Eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Okay. You know, again, I don't want to be like, okay, yeah. See how emotional we can make this. I don't want to do that, but I do think this is an emotional story as we connect with it. Because, you know, especially if there's somebody that you're thinking that you had to surrender, if you will. You had to say, God, they're yours. To understand that he says, hey, wait a minute. I'm going to give him eternal life. And by the way, I'm going to bring him back too. A lot of times when I do a funeral, you know, or when people talk about a loved one that's passed away, they'll say, oh, I can't wait to see them again. I think that's just going to be so great. And they get kind of wrapped. And I'm always like, you know, I don't say this out loud because it'd be rude. But I always think to myself, that's not going to be the best part of heaven. Okay. Best part of heaven isn't getting to see Nana. Okay. I think the best part of heaven is going to be being there with Jesus. Okay, I really do. I don't think we can think like that all the time, but I think that's going to be. However, you know that song, I Can Only Imagine? Here's what's true. Heaven is so good. Heaven is so good that I still think it'll be great to see the people that we miss. That'll be awesome. Okay? Amen, bros? And see her again. That's great. That's awesome. And I think through that and say, that's incredible. I don't think it'll be the best part of heaven, but I think it's going to be so wonderful that when Jesus says, hey, here's your son. He's alive again. This is so, that promise of eternal life, we've got to hold to that. that is so guaranteed by God's word through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the last journey I want to take a look at, I guess, is the idea of just for a few moments, this little boy's journey. Again, I don't know how old he was. I don't know if he remembered what happened. I don't know if he remembered this situation or if later on mom had to tell him about it. But I'm sure she just said, hey, you're a miracle boy. You were dead and you're alive again. Do you know that is a message that we need repeated over and over again to us? And we need to understand that. The Bible does not say that we're sailing along fine and everything's good and it'd be great if we could add a little religion and a little Jesus into our lives. What the Bible says is without Jesus, we are dead in our sins. But he brings us back to life. So he has given me life, yes, the very pulse I have, the very breath that I have in my lungs, but he has also given me eternal life through Jesus Christ our Son. What an incredible gift of grace. My life is a gift from God. My eternal life is a gift from God. If I can grab a hold of that and remember that, you know, I don't know if mom ever played the guilty card. Hey, behave yourself. You are dead and Jesus gave you back your life. But that is where we are. We were dead, the Bible says, in our trespasses and sins without the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, without getting to that place that lady started and she said, hey, wait a minute, I trust in what God said enough to put my faith in it. I trust that Christ did pay the price for my sin and that price is paid in full. I just put two quotes up here to kind of go with that. The first one is that phrase, give me your son. And I want to encourage you for a second. I want you to think about your greatest anxiety right now. Now, maybe you say, hey, I don't really have one. I'll say, great. But I think many people carry it and just say, hey, this is something that is just so heavy on my heart. And this is something I'm having a hard time getting past, your greatest anxiety. And see, if you will, a Savior saying, give this to me. This is the greatest burden you have. Would you give it to me? And get in a regular habit, and I say it like that because I know when I do this, when I surrender something to God that's been on my heart, I take it back a lot of times. And I come back and I start worrying about it again. I have a hard time giving it to him and just leaving it there. So get in a regular habit, maybe of starting each day by saying, the phrase from Scripture is casting our cares upon him for he cares for us. But get that idea of starting our time of prayer by just saying, God, this is yours. Give me your son. Remember that phrase. See this in this story. You have an incredible burden. What is that burden? What is that heartache that you want to give to him this morning? Believe that God would have you do that this very morning. And the second phrase I hope you can hold on to. I mean, I really hope you can hold on to. I just love that phrase. See? Your son lives. Your son lives. Imagine for a second, and again, my goal isn't to be super emotional this morning, but I just want to be honest. As I played this morning, I don't know why the person came to mind. I've had quite a few folks go on to heaven ahead of me, but I thought about Jeremy. And even in this whole story, I thought about Jeremy, because you remember as a church, we prayed for him, and hey, good news. And truth of the matter is, the morning before he passed away, I visited with him up in Kalamazoo, and he had been moved out of intensive care and everything like that. And I thought, man, can I connect to this story, going up like that? But you know, someday Jesus goes, there's Jeremy. See, he lives. I told you he lives. Okay, and I know for now we struggle still with heartache and stuff like that, but we've got to cling to the promise of eternal life. And it is so hard for us not to just think about the nasty now and focus on that because that's all we know and that's what we see. But eternity is so much more than this life here. I mean, I can't even describe it. There's no way to accurately illustrate how long and how great eternity is. I cannot explain that. But I do know that someday I can see the Savior going, oh yeah, and you didn't lose him either. There he is. He lives. He lives because of me. So I pray that you'll be able to grab onto that hope. I pray that you'll be able to, if you will, surrender. You know, see a Savior saying, give me, again, Elijah's this picture of Jesus. Give me your son. See, your son lives. You see, he still lives. I'm going to ask the team to come back up. We're going to sing the song that we started with. Okay, this is the song is called Rattle, but it's about coming back to life. And I thought it'd be a good song just to go with what we talked about here. But can I encourage you, maybe in light of the fact that he's given us our life, can I encourage you that maybe there's a element of or the entirety of your life that you want to offer back to God today? Here it is. You know, again, maybe there's a specific heartache, but maybe it's just you. Just say, I want to offer back to God in praise and thanksgiving back to you. And may I also just, one of my prayers this morning is, if your journey of faith has never begun, okay? In other words, you have never got to the place where you realize that he's not just the Savior of the world. He can be my Savior when I trust him for forgiveness of my sin. Last week, we talked about that idea that Jesus has come to a world that is broken, that is messed up, and he entered into a world of people that are dying. You say, well, I'm not dying. I'm doing fine. How about your eternity and your soul? Is that a settled issue with Jesus Christ? Have you trusted him for forgiveness of sin? Because the Bible says, if not, we're on the pathway to death. But through faith in Jesus Christ, he says, hey, here's eternal life. God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but they will have everlasting life. We're going to sing that song again about the bones coming back to life and life being restored. And hopefully, you know what? What time is it? I have no idea. 2:30 in the afternoon. No, we're pretty close. But as we do that, I just want to mention what we've done. I'll be around and some other folks. If that's something like, you know, I really feel like I'd like somebody to pray with me. Or if you have a prayer request, you want to put on that card that we can share that or something like that. I really just have been asking the Lord that we would all be able to connect with this story today. I think... And just realize that, hey, yeah, been there. Sometimes we live in denial of that. You know, no, God's good all the time, and all the time God's good. That is true. But if we're honest, sometime in our hearts, you know, we're thinking, does God even love me today? This is kind of hard. Well, that heart's going to lie to you sometimes. And remember, that's our verse from 1 John. Remember, that heart can lead us down the wrong path sometimes. Because the truth of what God says is what stands and what is eternal. And we want to lean into that and the forgiveness of sin in Jesus Christ. Father, would you please finish the work of this truth, of these truths, of this story in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Dan Thomas of Community Church in Edwardsburg. For more information about the church, you can visit our website, edwardsburg.church. You may also contact the church via email, info@edwardsburg.church, or call us at 269-663-2648. Thank you for listening.